This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com, or the Joy app. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you.
It is 9 minutes past five.
Many of us have trouble sleeping. You might use white noise, maybe certain lighting, avoid your phones, take supplements, all sorts of things to help you sleep. Well, many parents have started using melatonin gummies to help their children sleep. Well, how do they work? And do we know the risk factors associated with using them? Well, here to tell us more is Professor of Psychology and Head of Pediatric Sleep Research at Central Queensland University, Sarah Blunt. Sarah, thanks for joining us on Joy Drive.
My pleasure, Em and Warren. Nice to meet you. Nice to speak to you.
Sarah, firstly, what is melatonin and how does it work?
Melatonin is a naturally occurring hormone that releases at time to go to sleep. It's triggered by our internal circadian rhythm, so that's our internal body clock, really, which dictates when we fall asleep and when we wake up in the morning. And that's pretty standard across the world. It's a little bit earlier for younger children, but pretty standard that we fall asleep around the same time when it's dark and wake up in the morning. So circadian rhythm is triggered by melatonin, and melatonin makes us sleepy. Now, if melatonin is not active enough, then we can not get sleepy, obviously, and therefore it's hard to get to sleep. And there are certain syndromes that make that difficult because melatonin is not reacting the way that it should be, and that's in autism and in Smith-Magenis syndrome. But apart from that, most of us have melatonin that secretes at about the same time, give or take an hour or so.
Sarah, let's start with adults before we get into children using melatonin. But, you know, I know friends that will take melatonin supplements at nighttime before they go to sleep. Does that actually help you sleep?
It does, actually. Melatonin is recommended by the TGA for adults over 55 who have insomnia. So what is insomnia? Difficulty getting to sleep and staying asleep. And it does actually supplement natural melatonin and make us sleepy. There are very few cases where it has been shown that it doesn't work, but then there's not that many studies that actually have done longitudinal studies on melatonin. But what's out there so far in adults, it does assist. Providing everything else is the same, if you like, Em, you know, providing you're not pumping yourself with coffee or staying up late, you know, watching, you know, doing martial arts or something that's really exciting and, you know, sweat provoking.
Right.
Providing everything else is the same, melatonin will work to put you to sleep generally.
Sarah, let's talk about children. Does it have the same effect on children?
It does, except that it's much more powerful because, of course, children are smaller, their bodies are smaller, their secretion of melatonin is differential based on the fact that they're younger and they're smaller. It can have the same effect, but you know what? The evidence, the science around melatonin in children that don't have autism or Smith-Magenis syndrome, excuse me, is very scant. So we have not a great deal of science that knows what's actually happening long-term to children. We know that it is effective in most cases. There are some side effects that have been found. That's irritability, sleepiness, not surprisingly, and sometimes even a bit of aggression. Sometimes kids just don't, it doesn't work for them. It tips them over the other side. But in general, it seems to work. The question is, should we be using it, is really more the question.
We're chatting to Professor of Psychology and Head of Pediatric Sleep Research at CQ University, Sarah Blunder, about using melatonin to help kids sleep. Sarah, you just mentioned that, you know, we don't exactly have enough research to know the side effects and potential negative impacts of using melatonin for kids. Would you say then that we should not be using melatonin to help our kids sleep?
Well, the thing is that the TGA, the Therapeutic Goods Administration, don't recommend use of melatonin in children that don't have autism or Smith-Magenis.
Right.
So it's not a recommended prescription. It is in Australia, it's not recognised as a supplement. It's recognised as a medication, as a drug. So it's under the pharmaceutical benefits kind of system, and that's why the TGA needs to recommend it to be able to be prescribed by doctors. And if it's not prescribed, then it's not recommended. So the problem that we've got with these melatonin gummies that have been in the press recently is that when parents are sleep deprived and exhausted, and I mean, you guys probably know, when you're tired, you're completely wrecked. Mm. And if you don't have a good night, particularly if you've got children that don't sleep well, not only are they not sleeping well, but you're not sleeping well. So irritability, coping capacity, just generally feeling horrible because you don't sleep. So what are you going to do when you can't sleep and it's immediate and you have to perform and go to work? Well, you try for a quick solution, I suspect. And melatonin is generally a quick solution. It has been shown to be effective. And so people will be going to get that. And well, these gummies originate from the United States, I believe. And the United States don't have restrictions on melatonin like we do in Australia. So they are available over the counter. Excuse me. They are supplements and therefore available online. And that's where the problem lies, that if someone in Australia is wrecked from sleep deprivation and these gummies are available and they're online, the choice is pretty clear, really. When you think about the alternatives, which are behavioural and psychological treatments, which are very effective in getting children to sleep, or adults, it's just a tough choice sometimes.
Sarah, if, let's say, you know, someone does have a kid who's having trouble sleeping and perhaps does have autism, and can they qualify for these gummies on approved by the TGA and you can get them on the PBS?
They are. But in that case, I suspect the health professional, which should always be guiding this situation, would be prescribing them, and they can get them from the local chemist. So then they're targeted to that child and the dosage is targeted to that child. The gummies, I don't think the dosage is often unclear. And recent research shows that in these online products, we're not quite sure what the percentage of melatonin actually is, or other stuff. That's what has been shown. So it's a bit unsure and uncertain.
And I would imagine too that, you know, gummies are probably full of sugar and quite yummy to eat. And so there's a temptation to think, if I haven't fallen asleep, I'll just have another one because they're quite delicious.
Yeah. That's my thought too, actually, while I'm just thinking about that. Why would they put them in a gummy? Well, clearly, if a parent wants to give a child a supplement and you know, they want them to take it, they're going to make them sleep. They do it with cough medicine. They do it with other stuff. Even antibiotics, they make them easier for children to swallow and to and digest, I guess. The danger is that becomes like a lolly, and that's the worry.
Yeah, absolutely. Sarah, what would you recommend to do instead if we have a child that isn't sleeping very well? Should we go and see our doctor?
Yeah. I guess it really depends on what the problem is. And, you know, if it's I guess parents will see, my child's not getting to sleep, they can't get to sleep, or they're fearful of getting to sleep, or they've got nightmares, or they snore. There's lots of different ways that sleep problems can manifest. And I guess the first point of call is often the doctor. Doctors are better trained these days in triaging sleep problems. And there is a new field, relatively new field of sleep psychology, which has emerged in the last 5 to 10 years. And these are psychologists who are specialised in sleep therapies, for want of a better word. So all the help that a child might need to change their sleep habits, parents to change their sleep routines, to encourage them to stay in bed, and lots of different ways to do that. And that's psychological and behavioural stuff, but also can understand what physiological issues might be going, why is that child not tired, what's going on with their snoring, can we stop their nightmares, can we help their sleepwalking, all that sort of stuff. It depends on what the problem really is. But the very long answer to your question then, your GP is probably your first point of call. Mm.
Sarah, great to chat with you. Really important information. Thank you so much for joining us on Joy Drive.
My pleasure. Thanks for giving me the opportunity.
Thank you, Sarah Blunder, Professor of Psychology and Head of Paediatric Sleep Research at CQ University.
The best bits of Joy Drive with Em and Warren. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.